can't tell if the chemistry's good by looking at it. It wasn't clear yesterday. For the last time, the saltwater pool is a chlorine pool.
This is the Talking Pools Podcast with pool pros from every region in the country. If it happens in a pool, you'll hear about it here. Everything from tips and hacks to the latest tricks and trends. Breaking news, we lay it on the line. We tell it like it is because we think you deserve to know.
We now pick back up where we left off last Monday with Peter, Shane, and Lee on Monday's Down Under on the Talking Pools podcast.
Oh, right. I know how to do this now. But with practice, it's very good. I actually did a training course that had a big part of it, big part of the course for networking, leadership, that sort of thing. Disc profile was a very significant part of the course there. Yeah. The big thing to remember there, though, as I say, is, oh, hello, Lee, you're back. The big thing is, you know, don't use it as a way of conning people. You know, don't. There was a group of pool shops near where I used to build pools, and they had about four shops. And every time a woman came in with a water sample for testing, and she was typically, if she was an age where it could be assumed she might have young kids, they would do the test, get the printout, word for word. I heard this from dozens of customers. They would say, gee, I wouldn't let my kids swim in that pool. They could get sick. That's just playing on emotion, playing on fears. And then they'd go try to sell them something like soda ash and dry acid on the same order. They were real scoundrels, but they completely destroyed their reputation in the whole area. So don't use it for that, but it can help you build rapport and relate to customers more quickly. It's diametrically opposite.
Yeah, it's very important to be able to read your customers. And like you say, it's not so that we can rip them off or sell them shit they don't need. We're not interested in that. We're actually trying to give them what they want from a customer service experience. We're trying to deliver the information that they want that's relevant to them or that they're interested in. So it helps us tailor our delivery so that it's better received, I suppose, and meeting them at their levels, at their needs. So, yeah, I think it's really important in customer service to read your customer. Mm. Like if we were saying before, if somebody comes in and they're very gruff and they have an aggressive manner and that sort of thing, if you actually then take a more subtle approach and you don't, like it's a natural thing for some people, and I've had this happen with staff of mine, where if somebody's aggressive towards them, they get their heckles up and they can be aggressive back. And it's like, no, you do the opposite. Kill them with kindness. Be silky smooth. And because it's amazing when you do that, how then it brings them down, it brings their tone down, it brings their manner down. And you can say to them, look, I'd really appreciate it if you didn't speak to me like that. I'm trying to assist you, or I'd like to assist you with your problem. Let's talk about it, sort of thing. But yeah, just don't get your heckles up when somebody comes at you aggressively. Mm-hmm. And it's also body language. Like if somebody does not want you in their space, it's very obvious. Take a step back. Some people really want to be in your space and you're not comfortable with it. I've had that over the years. So there's different things that, you do it to make them comfortable, to show them that you understand and you respect them and their needs. So that's what you're basically doing. So
2 points on that.
It's really important.
Obviously, it should go without saying. It doesn't work the other way. If someone comes in very calm, don't get aggressive with them. I've seen people try to sell by forcing a sale on somebody very, very calm, and that just does not work. The other thing is, if somebody is aggressive, stand your ground. You can be polite, but stand your ground. I had a customer come in, and from this, going back probably 15 years, from memory, he'd over-tightened his pump lid and cracked it. And he came into the showroom and he said, oh, this is bullshit. He said, oh, this is buggered. And I said, what happened? He said, oh, yeah, well, you know, I got the broom handle, tightened the lid, and it broke. I said, yeah, well, I can sell you a new one, but that's not warrantable. And he said, oh, look, this is bullshit. And I just stopped, looked him dead in the eye. I said, I'm sorry, I can't help you if you swear. And he says, oh, this is effing bullshit. I said, look, we have a company policy. We do not respond to swearing other than to tell you to leave. So if you're going to swear again, you will be asked to leave. And that actually calmed him down. I think he expected us to be walkovers, but no, always stand your ground.
Yeah. Isn't it horrible now, though, that I think it's everywhere, not everywhere you go, but a lot of places you go, and even a lot of recordings that you hear, if you ring a helpline for anyone, a doctor's office or to make an appointment or a bank or whatever, you ring and the message says that they won't tolerate people
aggressive or rude behaviour.
Aggressive on the phone. And the thing is, people seem to have forgotten that you catch more flies with honey than you do with vinegar, like that good old saying.
I've never heard that saying before.
You haven't?
Now I know.
Oh, okay.
No, I've heard that one.
You've had. Thank you, Shane. Yeah. It's the way to wild people that probably haven't heard it.
Yeah, you're Western living Australia. In sticks over there.
But, like, you get so much further if you are nice and kind to people. It just goes without saying. Like, you can be firm. I've had a doctor's appointment. One of my sons has been waiting 3 weeks for a script, and he's just texted me then to say the doctors have finally put the script through. And I've been ringing constantly. He had an appointment 3 weeks ago. The doctor said to him she was going to send the script through on e-scripts to his phone. And he's only 19. He doesn't know how to, like, be assertive with those sort of things. And he also works as an apprentice between those hours that the doctor's office is open. So he can't afford to sit on the phone for half an hour waiting for somebody to pick up the bloody phone. So I've been chasing it for him. And I said to the girl yesterday, I've rung 6 times now for a prescription. This is his mental health that you're dealing with here. And you are not giving him a prescription. Like, surely there's an issue with this. But that was how I spoke to her. I was not rude. I did not yell. She was so nice. And 24 hours later, he's got the script. So I got what I needed. But yeah, I think you've got to understand when to push and how far to push and to do it nicely to get what you need. And customer service. In any business is the same. Yes. It's sad. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. No. It's really sad that the world's coming to that. Like, I shake my head. And I feel sorry for the people, obviously, that have those experiences with customers. But I wish those people that behave like that unwarranted that would wake up to themselves. The world would be a much better place. But anyway, such is life. we can't fix everybody's problems on here, can we, boys?
No, probably not. Probably not. I'm trying to think of a saying on that. Something came to mind, something like, so many morons, so few bullets. But you don't want me to say that.
Oh, I thought it was husbands, can't live with and can't shoot them. But
yeah.
And here we are in Australia where we have no guns in the US. Yeah, but anyway. Yeah. I digress.
Yes, let's not go in. All righty.
Ah.
So, yeah, disk profile. Do have a look at it. Like I was saying, it is a learned skill. It is a practice skill, but it makes the world of difference when selling and, in general, customer service and building rapport with people.
And actually, customer service is such an important part of our business, whether we're a service business, whether we're a retailer, whether we're a pool builder. Customer service and communication with your customers is absolutely paramount. And winter is a great time for businesses to look for courses, training, seminars on things like customer service. Bring the whole team in. Everybody can do it, right from the boy who does the stocking, unstocking of the boxes on a Saturday morning in the shop to the owner of the company. Like, it is applicable to everybody, and everybody needs a refresher on it occasionally. So it's definitely something to put on your winter training list in the Southern Hemisphere anyway. In the Northern Hemisphere, maybe you could do it before you get into the throes of summer.
Does Spaza offer anything like that, Lee, just out of curiosity?
No, they don't. Over the years they have, like, just done little webinars and that sort of thing occasionally about it, but there's nothing in the pipeline at the moment. It is one of the subjects of a couple of the courses that we actually offer. The Certificate 3 in Pool and Spa Service does have customer service components in it, and so too does the Retail Cert 3. So they both have units of competency that cover customer service, and the DISC is one of the things that we actually cover in the topics. So, yeah, it's really important. We're dealing with customers. Customers are our business. I actually remember when my boys have come through the business over the years, and like I say, they're all older now, but I remember the eldest one when he was probably about 11, don't tell anyone, slave labor and all of that.
It's legal if they're your own kids.
He was about,
in a family business, yes. It's legal.
So he was about 11, and he used to come in and work in the shop, and he was happy. He got 10 or 20 bucks and morning tea bought for him. He was happy. So, but I remember him being in the store one day, and customers would come in and want to talk to him. And we've had the business. Well, we started the business a year before he was born. So the customers feel like they know him because he's been on our vehicles. He's been on our sign writing. And they talk to his father and I about what are the kids doing. So the customers had a real interest in the boys and what they were doing in their lives. And he would be in the shop unpacking boxes, and a customer would come in and go, "Oh, hi, Coop. How are you? How's school?" And being a typical boy, his head was down, get a grumble, good, yep, nah, that was about as much as you got, like typical boy. Anyway, I remember after a customer left one day, I said to him, "Mate, you need to understand, every customer that walks through this door puts a roof over your head, clothes on your back, and food on your plate, and you will give them the respect of looking them in the eye and giving them more than a one-word answer, because they really are interested in you and how you're going, and they feel like they know you. So give them that respect and have a conversation." Well, now you can take any of my boys anywhere and they can have a conversation with people they don't even know, because they've been all being brought up through the business like that. And I remember his first real job, not working for mum and dad, his first real job, as they say. The bosses actually said to me, "How did you get him to be like that. They had a teenage son the same age. And they said, how did you get him to be like that? And I said, this is what I went through. And I think it worked. Like, it really did. And it was respect, courtesy, decency, respect, and appreciating the fact that those customers, without those customers, you don't have a business. And for our staff, if we don't, they don't look after their customers, we don't have an income and they don't have a job.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it all goes hand in hand.
Mind you, some customers do need to be shown the door.
Look, there's nothing wrong with sacking your customer. I'm all for that, absolutely.
Sometimes it's a really good feeling. It's like, I don't have to go back to that shithole again.
Well, especially,
a relief.
Well, you bend over backwards, you try and do everything, you be as nice as pie, you try all the customer service tricks and tips and everything, and if they are still an asshole, there's the door.
Yep. Yep.
You can't please all the people all of the time.
I did that to a property manager recently. I can't remember if we spoke about that, but that was a good feeling because they were all just shitty balls they gave us. So it's
that's one thing I've noticed as well. When you're trying to make everybody happy, you're always going to upset and piss somebody off.
Yep.
You know, so. Yeah, so it just can't be done all the time.
Oh, and look, we see it from time to time on the Talking Pools Facebook page and that sort of thing where people go, like, I'm worried of like about getting rid of some customers. And I can tell you, never regretted giving the customers the door that needed to be shown the door, because it makes room for you to look after those ones that are coming in. And as they say, 20% of the people cause 80% of the problems. You're better off to get rid of those 20% and their 80% problems and get more in that that you can look after better, that appreciate you and value you. You don't want the ones that don't value you.
Especially if something's already happened that's planted the seed in your mind, you know, like, do I keep this client on? You know, something's obviously happened for you to think that way.
If in doubt, kick them out.
Don't hesitate, just do it.
Yeah. one thing you mentioned, try to please everybody. With rental properties, I don't know if you do or if you did a lot of work on pools at rental properties, I'm assuming so, given your real estate background. But with them, it can be almost like you're between a rock and a hard place. You've got the tenant and the property manager or owner. And then the property manager's got the trades, the owner and the tenant, and it can turn out very messy. So when a tenant starts having a go, I say, look, I'll speak to my customer, the property manager. And quite often they'll say, oh, I'm the customer. I say, no, I'm engaged here by the property manager. You're the tenant. I need to make sure your pool is safe, but I can't do things without the customer's go-ahead. I had one the other day. They have a faulty acid feeder, peristaltic pump on it, the squeeze tube split. And this tenant was saying to my guy out there yesterday, he says, oh, look, if you don't have that part with you, just put a new one on. Just replace the whole thing. And my guy said, are you going to pay for that? He says, nope, that's up to the owner. I said, well, yeah, we need a work order. And this guy said to him, look, I'm the customer. And my guy turns and says, no, you're the tenant. Know the difference. So a little bit abrupt on that. And the guy really didn't like it. But this guy's rude.
He deserved it.
Oh, he'll be there standing over you. All it normally is just a chemistry check. Clean the filter, empty the baskets. That's what that service is arranged as. Oh, why didn't you clean the pool? Because it's not on the work order. Why don't you do this? Because it's not on the work order. And he will stand there complaining and trying to push you around the entire time you're on site. He's tried it with me. He's tried it with others. If he tries, if he starts having a go at me the way he had a go at my guy yesterday, then there will be an email sent to the property manager and owner saying, look, happy to service your pools, but not with this tenant. I'm not going to get pushed around by a tenant.
No, absolutely not. I think it's really important when tenants and landlords and agents are involved, and we are getting slightly off topic, I suppose, today. But, everything has to be in writing. If the tenant is asking you to vacuum the pool at their expense, that needs to be in writing. If the agent is asking you to do something, it has to be in writing, because you just do get stuck in the middle at times. I actually made a point blank rule. I did not deal with tenants at all. So if the tenant rang me and said, this is not working, my staff were always directed, ring the agent. The authority has to come from the agent. If the tenant wanted to ring and book in for a pool, for a vacuum service, then that's separate. They're booking it on their behalf, they're paying for it. But again, it came in writing so that we knew that they had it, like they'd booked it, they knew that they were paying for it. It wasn't through the agent. But yeah, I tried to wherever possible, even when it did come to the vacuuming, and because some agents want the tenants to pay for the chemicals, but the owner pays for the service, or vice versa. And it's like, I'm not getting involved in that shit. I'm not your accountant. I'm not your bookkeeper. I'll send you an invoice for the whole job, and how you divide it up between the parties is up to you. I'll go and do the job. So often when it did come to the vacuuming, the agent would ring, the tenants got used to me, and they would ring the agent and say, we want a vacuum, can you authorize it? We'll pay for it. And so then they would do that, and they would send me a work order to do the vacuum. Because yeah, then the agent would just bill the tenant, and I found that so much easier, because you also have the problem of tenants moving out. If the tenants rack up a bill and the tenants move out, you don't know when they're moving out. They could just move out and leave a bill there unpaid, and it's like, not going to happen
on
my
watch. Don't like working for free.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah. Shane's got a big smile on his face.
Certainly digressed quite a bit.
We did. Yeah, from relating to people to telling tenants to get stuffed. But no, some of the tenants on rentals that we, whose pools we service, some of them are really good. There's some of them, they maintain their pools better between services, much better than most people who have their own pool. Others don't give a stuff. We've got one who, monthly service, doesn't bother checking the skimmer basket or anything, and there's a lot of leaves, a lot of dirt around this pool, doesn't empty the skimmer basket. But then he'll ring us and complain, oh, there's no water moving through the system, come and fix it. And that's exactly the case where it's, right, get the property manager to send me a work order and I'll come out there.
Well, with those ones, I used to actually increase them to fortnightly, or I'd write to the agent and say, this pool needs, this is not being done. So to the tenant either does it and you need like, and complies with that, or I need to increase your servicing to fortnightly. And then the tenant has to pay the bill anyway. So win.
Yeah.
They either pay it or they do it.
That's
their choice.
That's it. But no, a lot of the tenants seem to think, or some of the tenants seem to think, that you're at their beck and call. There was one who, it's a funny one, he's moved out now, thank goodness, but he was giving the property manager a hard time, me a hard time, the gardener once said, oh, this guy's hard work. And he said, oh, I need you to come and change the settings on my timer. And I said, okay, you could have mentioned that, you know, 2 days ago when I was out there for service. And he says, no, I've just decided you need to come out. I said, well, I can do it at next service, or you can get the property manager to send me a work order for the call out. He says, oh, it won't take you long, just while you're in the area. He said, oh, you know, you can come in this afternoon. I said, no, I'm in a completely different area this afternoon and I'm not coming out for free. After about three phone calls over a few days, he said to me, oh, I don't know why you can't make it out here. It's not like you're busy. I said, I beg your pardon. And I said, how many customers do you think I have on the books? How many pools do you think we maintain? And he says, I don't know, maybe a couple of dozen. I said, no, the business would not be viable with a couple of dozen customers. I said, you know, we'll do a couple of dozen a day without even thinking about it. He was quite surprised to find out how many customers we had. He seemed to think I was just there sitting around waiting, as a lot of them do. you know, I'm home now. Well, yeah, that's great because I'm just waiting in the shopping centre car park up the road waiting for your call.
But
this has turned into a right little whinge session, hasn't it? I feel we needed to get that out.
You guys need to get things off your chest, I think.
The joys of customer service. The ups and the downs. We have our lovely customers and we have our trying ones. They're very
trying is a very, very polite way of saying it. Yes. Anyway, I feel better now.
That draws us to a close for a day.
Yes, it does. Thanks, you guys. Thank you, everyone out there listening. Please remember to send your questions, comments, or topic requests to talkingpools@gmail.com. Rudy will get them and pass them on to the most appropriate host in the most appropriate episode. Remember to also to listen to other episodes from the US each week on Talking Pools. But as for now, have a great week. Get out there, be safe, make lots of money. Uru.
Bye.
See you later.
I just wanted to take a minute to say thank you for listening today. I'm hoping you enjoyed the episode as much as we enjoyed putting it together for you. Listen, it's been a couple of wacky, crazy, screwed up years from pandemic to Poolmageddon. I just want you to know that we are all in this together. If there's anything that we can do for you, send me an email at talkingpools@gmail.com. Again, that's talkingpools@gmail.com. We're here. This is your podcast. We are the Pool People's Podcast, of the Pool People, for the Pool People, by the Pool People's Podcast. This one is about you. So thank you for tuning in and listening. Do me a favor, click subscribe before you go. That way you don't miss an episode.